Hi. Thank you for joining us at UInc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to develop a positive-minded outlook and have you better equipped for life and business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will wait to wield them depending on when you will need to make beautiful music with it. This week's tool is family, and why it is important to derive joy and satisfaction from your co-lifers in order to find your bliss, but also to have a familial relationship with coworkers, which leads to loyalty and success and meeting noble goals. Being able to connect with those we choose to be our family is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and that being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. Relationships. There are lots of them, but I am going to call them all family. Because in essence, family, according to the Urban Dictionary, and yes, the Urban Dictionary, because this is the currently held meaning by the populace of what family means. So family is defined as a group of people who genuinely love, trust, care about, and look out for each other. Not to be mistaken with relatives sharing the same household who hate each other. I had to laugh at that second part until after the surprise and the later realization that that part of the definition makes it more of a case that the Urban Dictionary is reflective of current truths. We see so many cases of persons related by blood or marriage living in miserable unions. This is not what today's show is about. This is about what family means today. In the book, Hayek's Modern Family, the author, Stephen Horwitz, argues that families are social institutions that perform certain irreplaceable functions in society. These functions change as economic, political, and social circumstances change, and the family form adapts accordingly, kicking off the next wave of development in the social structure. Using this, then, as a de facto definition, let's explore how to create families around you. One thing that families do well is the fact that they can rely on each other. Once you make the choice to be a part of a family that has accepted you, you can expect them to do what they say they are going to do. Be thoughtful, honest, and have each other's backs. If you find yourself in a family that does not demonstrate those qualities, then the great thing about modern families is that we can choose to leave them and find a new family that does. It seems a bit precarious, but in reality, it holds members accountable. Here at UInc, we believe that work is as important as our personal lives. In fact, the average American spends the majority of their waking life at work. So, our coworkers are also our family. And as such, we need to be loyal and reliable and trustworthy and expect the same from them. Those who have created successful families of coworkers and teams, as demonstrated by Gene Smith, Senior Vice President and Athletic Director of The Ohio State University, who was once on our show for a segment on resiliency, who said, "You have to be nice. Be nice to people. Take the high road." He clearly shows that success and happiness is intertwined with our families. Okay, so knowing this now, knowing you want to have a family, here are a couple of questions to ask yourself. One, how has your family helped make you a better person? And two, how have you helped your family be better? Let's take the first one. How has your family helped make you a better person? It is the asking of this question that you begin to be grateful for all those gifts given to you from your family members, whether it is teaching you the ropes, stood up to that bully at school for you, helped you study for the bar, showed you the shortcut to entering data, assisted you with an audit, answered your call at 4 a.m, let you crash on their couch when you were kicked out of your home or hide in the office when the boss was looking for them. hold you accountable for your behaviors, but forgave you of your transgressions or simply brought you along for the ride. This appreciation and gratitude from this reflection leads us to the next question. What has been your contribution? Here we do an inventory of ourselves and bring awareness to what we have done to better the lives of our chosen family members and the self-confidence that this brings us or the insight that perhaps we need to up our game and do more. The book, The Secrets of Happy Families by Bruce Feiler, is filled with practical tips and wise advice to help actualize all of this. It is a blueprint for modern families, a new approach to family dynamics, inspired by cutting-edge techniques gathered from experts in the disciplines of science, business, sports, and the military that I would recommend if you would like to know more about how to go about being a good family member and how to strengthen your family. And you can find our library with all the books and articles mentioned in today's U-Inc. episode on our website, wcbe.org/program/u-inc, as well as our podcast and the podcast of today's show can also be found on SoundCloud, Google Play, and iTunes as U-Inc. Radio, or you can also catch us on our sister media outlet, City Scene Media Group, at citycinecolumbus.com. On a final note, you don't have to do any of the above. You can simply make the choice to no longer be with this family. And that is fine if you have made that choice. Just be sure to let your family know that as well and move on. There is no greater contribution to society than a strong, healthy, beautiful family. That is a quote from Stephen Covey, the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families, or his better known book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Our guest today on U Inc. is best known for his penmanship, or by the acronym TBDBITL. Christopher Hoke is the director of the Ohio State University Marching Band, or the best damn band in the land, and most recognized for their signature move, Script Ohio, during shows on the football field and at other events. Dr. Hoke's Ohio State education includes bachelor's degrees in music education and mathematics, master's degrees in instrumental conducting and music education, and a PhD in music education. He has been a Buckeye for more than 20 years. Dr. Hoke's work with the Ohio State University Marching Band has received national recognition for innovation and creativity in the show design process. He lives with his wife, Linda, and their 2 children in Powell, and they even perform together at church. Welcome, Dr. Hoke.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Hoke, I have seen you shape-shift millennial college students into Disney characters and superheroes. How do you do it?
It starts with working together. It starts with the students, and we start planning for the season way back in February, and we ask our students for their ideas on what they would like to do. So they tend to get more excited about the things that they have had a part in creating. And we pick the music oftentimes based on their suggestions. And then when we start to put the show materials together in the fall, they're excited about the things that they have generated. A lot of the visual things to which you refer are just based on student ideas, and they're based on the music that we receive from our musical arrangers.
Okay. And so you recently were on a podcast and you kind of gave some hints as to what we have to look forward to this coming season. Would you care sharing that here too?
We're looking forward to the 2017 season. Some of the things that we're doing involve a lot of different ideas. So the ideas that we generate in that show planning meeting in February come from a lot of genres of music. So for instance, this year we'll be doing a number of different things. You'll hear some classical music on the field. You'll hear some jazz music on the field. You'll see some pretty standard imagery. In fact, we're doing a show that we call The Man in the Ring, which is a boxing show, and you'll see some images associated with that, and we'll have some fun with that. We'll have Brutus Buckeye involved in that particular show. But you'll also see some more abstract, less concrete images as well. So we try to do a variety of things that will appeal to many audiences. When you have 100,000 people watching you on a particular game day, you try to please as many folks as you possibly can, and we try to be as entertaining and as thorough as we possibly can for our audiences.
Right, right. Well, looking forward to that. So I remember Script Ohio from when before I graduated OSU, and as I mentioned earlier when we were talking, I still get choked up. But some of your newer acts are no doubt more complex. And I remember something about there was during a time that you guys started using iPads towards using that technology, introducing that towards kind of like making more precision happen in your performances. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
The iPad project was actually a project that the two students came up with. Our students were trying to come up with a way for us to be a little bit more efficient in how we use our resources, namely to try to go paperless and basically be more efficient at the same time in how we learn our drill and how we learn our music. So that project kind of took off. We piloted it in 2014, and all of our students now have iPads as a part of the regular class curriculum in the marching band. So there is no more paper music. There's no more paper drill charts. They use those iPads exclusively for communication. They take video of each other as they're learning their marching fundamentals and learning their maneuvers. We use the iPads to upload the drill, and the students can see the animations actually before they occur in the performance. And then they can upload music and upload video from the rehearsal that day. And basically, it doesn't change necessarily what we do. Mm-hmm. It changes the speed at which we can do it and the efficiency with which we learn.
Mm-hmm. And it's great being ahead of this family, how you allow to have members of the family have that input and to kind of allow that to turn into something that you do.
Absolutely. And family is a word we use all the time with our students. It's not just about me. It's not just about one particular student. It's about all of it. Mm-hmm. What we do on the field, marching band is by its very nature a collaborative art. Mm-hmm. And it takes literally hundreds of people, from the students to the directing staff to the musical arrangers to the people who make our props.
Right.
All of those people, it takes a whole lot of people to put on a show that you would see on a typical game day Saturday.
Right.
So family is of particular importance to us. So many people working together, you can't have a good product if people aren't invested into that same goal.
Right, where they can all rely on each other and people actually do what they say they're going to do, those qualities of the family that we talked about. So speaking of technology, a current hot topic for parents is how to treat technology with their children. So you have two younger children. How do you guys handle technology at home?
That's a really good question because it's a learning process.
Right.
Anybody that has young children knows that it's a challenge. Just how much time are they allowed to spend using technology, and when do they need to be doing other things? We work closely with our two kids in what they're able to do, make sure that they're watching the right things on TV mm-hmm. when it's appropriate. And my son is 6 years old, and one of his favorite toys is his little computerized tablet that he likes to play with. And he's able to download educational videos and things that he finds entertaining. And it's nice to be able to set the timer on those things that when it's time for bed, he can go to bed. But he also learns a lot from doing that. So technology is very much incorporated into their lives.
Right.
But we obviously as parents try to make sure we're careful about what he does.
Yeah, I have a 6-year-old too, and it's hard because, you know, as you mentioned, it's a learning experience. We're not digital natives. They are digital natives. We don't mm-hmm. know exactly what we should or should not be doing, so we just do the best that we can.
Yeah, and we find that obviously the younger generations are inundated with technology
right.
differently from the way we were. So having them learn to use it the right way and be immersed in it the proper way from the beginning is important to us.
Okay. So you've been with the OSU Marching Band for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, as you said earlier, you see the music, you know, the marching band, and now also the music department as family. And in an article for a Cleveland publication, you said, "The Ohio State University marching band and athletic bands are truly special, and I want to be a part of continuing to build on our success and supporting our students. Our students deserve every opportunity to succeed and thrive." And as you said this, with family experiences, you had a passing of a family member, so to speak. How is the marching band now as a family with you as a director?
Like I said, every day is a collaborative effort. You mentioned that, you know, family members are people that support each other and have each other's backs, and there's no better case of that than with the marching band and the athletic bands. In fact, I'm lucky enough to be a part of those two families.
Right.
The athletic band program is its own unique entity. They're their own family, and they have a great camaraderie. They support each other. Obviously, any group that makes music together is a special group, in my opinion.
Right.
So having that camaraderie amongst the students and seeing them learn to work with each other and seeing them build the relationships that are quite frankly going to be with them the rest of their lives, it's a real privilege and honor to be part of that
sure.
family environment.
So aside from that rocky start, how did it feel to like suddenly get tapped to be the head of this family? Can you recall that moment, what that was like? Because it was, you know, there were other two acting directors and your assistant mm-hmm. director, and they were looking for another director, and then suddenly they're like, no, we're going to use this guy.
Well, you know, we were coming off of a challenging time, certainly, and I will say that our students always gave their very best to the band through thick and through thin, mm-hmm. no matter what the issue. And that's another example of family. You know, we include in our band family not only our students but our alumni, that have gone before. So to take on the responsibility of being the director of that particular family, it's an awesome responsibility.
Yeah.
You certainly owe it to the students in your charge first and foremost. They're the most important thing, you know, most important members of the family,
yeah.
so to speak. But you also owe it to all of those people that have been around the band program for years, all of those that have a vested interest in the band being successful, the administration of the university, the people that come to the football games.
The extended family, if you will.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah, and the people that just watch us and enjoy us, whether it's at the games or on YouTube, or in concert or wherever they happen to see us. So it was a pretty awesome responsibility, but an exciting one nevertheless.
Nice. So as we talked about in the beginning of the show today, trust is important, a part of the family. How do you build trust?
The first thing you do is to be completely transparent. You have to be honest with those around you before you can expect them to be honest with you in all aspects of daily life on the job. I think our students have learned over the years that they can trust me, that they can trust our staff, and I have had to learn to trust our students. The bottom line is, when you are in a successful organization, mm-hmm. when you're part of a great family, you're all working towards a common end. And in order to work towards a common end, everybody's got to trust that each other, that one another are going to do the very best they can to make those, to achieve their goals,
right.
To make that performance the best that it can be, to make the life experience for those students the best that it can possibly
mm-hmm.
be. You have to be honest in all things, even when it's difficult.
Right.
Even when you know, the truth can hurt sometimes.
Right.
But it's important that you remember, you know, that's maybe it's even more important during
right.
those times.
Because you can hold people accountable, as we said, and still forgive them of their transgressions.
Of
but
course.
I'm still going to hold you accountable. So speaking of honesty, as I mentioned earlier, you're a tough person to find out a lot about. But I did find this really interesting tweet. And I quote, "I used to bullseye womp rats in my T16 back home, but now I'm just planning for a great 2017 season." Initially, when I read that, I thought you were driving around in some tractor with a BB gun and shooting some type of rodent. So I should have been tipped off by the hashtag, "May the Fourth be with you," that this was a Star Wars reference. Do you consider fellow Star Wars fans as a family in any way? So random, I know.
Well, I guess you would have to based on that quote. Yeah, I remember doing that. Speaking of family, actually, an interesting story about that. I've been a Star Wars fan my entire life. The very first movie I ever remember seeing was Star Wars, and my dad took me to see that movie when I was a little kid, and I'll never forget that experience. So that's a family mm-hmm. tie that I have, and it's obviously it's remained a part
right.
of who I am
right.
ever since then.
Okay, so family ties definitely has to do with this whole thing with the Star Wars. I like it. You're also an alumni brother of the ETA chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi fraternity. Obviously another form of family, which may be useful, particularly in large campuses like Ohio State, for people to find the connection, to have someone to feel like that they're family, to take care of them, that they can rely on. And as with any family that we all know, things can get dysfunctional. And the same thing, of course, with fraternity families. We've seen this in the news. There was actually an article in The Atlantic about 3 years ago that did an in-depth investigation at the advent of fraternities, from the time that there was like they were bragging about conquest to modern day falling off of porches and things like that. So for people listening right now, what are some ways for someone to speak out when they do witness these types of dysfunctions within their family before people get really hurt?
I think the bottom line is you have to have somebody that you can trust. And we try to build a culture of trust, at least amongst the staff, to make sure that each member of the staff has integrity and each member of the staff is open to hearing all sides and all opinions. So, you know, we make sure that we encourage our students to come forward. We make it easy for them to do so. Like I said, we are upfront and honest with them in every way that we can possibly be. So our students have learned over the years that we are accessible. At least I hope they've learned that.
Right.
That we're accessible, and that, you know, when they're willing to come forward, and they often do now, there's something that's bothering them, that they're going to be affirmed in their beliefs, and that they are going to be taken care of, and at the very least, they're going to be heard. They're going to be listened to.
Right.
So we try to make sure that they have every opportunity. You know, if I can't speak to a student right now, I'll make sure that I follow up with them and get an appointment or something so that they have the opportunity to speak to me. And we have enough people on staff who deeply care about the organization and deeply care about our students and make sure that, you know, that they have the opportunity to speak up. And furthermore, if somebody has talked to us in the past, we always make sure to go back to them and, you know, just check and see how they're doing, or if maybe just on a daily basis, just, hey, how you doing? It can make a person's day just to ask, you know, ask how their day has gone thus far. So, you know, I'm completely honest when I tell you that we care about our students.
Well, clearly, because Andrew Carringer, who is our production assistant here, you know, he approached you, and
I have
him to thank for you being here today. So clearly you are approachable and you're open to whatever it is they have to offer.
And he is a great guy.
He is. So Dr. Hoke, your leadership and the band itself have a pretty good relationship, as you had mentioned, with the athletic department, and you meet with Gene Smith, and you have an amicable relationship also with Urban Meyer. And not all schools treat their band this well, from what I understand. So how does a cultivated relationship like this between different departments affect the morale of everyone at Ohio State, and how does that affect people's overall performance?
I think it's crucial. When our students feel that they are supported, and not just by athletics, we have a great relationship with our athletic department, as you said, but by other organizations on campus, you know, everybody from the upper administration to the School of Music to the College of Arts and Sciences. I mean, all of those departments have a vested interest in the band being successful. And when our students feel supported, they have an easier time of doing what they do. You know, I can just give you an example. We were able to go to the Oklahoma game last year, travel to Norman, Oklahoma to perform there. And that was thanks to Gene Smith saying, yeah, we want the band there. We need the band there. And, you know, the band makes a difference to us. So, you know, I can't thank them enough for the athletic department enough for what they do for us and supporting us in all of our endeavors. So it's important. You know, you talk about the extended family. They are, you know, we have our band family, but the Ohio State University family is another entity that's very powerful.
Right. And then also, like, through that tragedy that happened in 2014, the School of Music directors were actually acting as the directors of the marching band, and they grew to appreciate a little bit more what you guys were doing. So, and all that kind of that silver lining is that resiliency that healthy families have.
That's correct.
So John Woods passed in 2015, and during a moment you two climbed onto the podium and you formed the band of this tragedy, and you said, and I quote, "Woods was my friend, my mentor. I would not be able to be who I am today if it weren't for him." So clearly you see him as a family member, and his daughter was tragically died in New York City. And so the question is, being that you consider him family, but yet this is a family member, like kind of in a professional role, and he's dealing with something very personal and very tragic, how does one kind of tread that line between that personal and that professional and being a support without getting too involved?
Well, I think when you have a family, whether it's personal or professional, we've talked about trust. You know, there's a trust, and, you know, I'll be honest, when we have difficult times in our lives, even now, you know, while we don't dwell on them in the professional workplace, those of us that work together often are some of the first to hear about it.
Mm.
I know, for example, you know, when my grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, the band, I received cards and, you know, well wishes from certainly my band family.
Right.
They sent flowers to the funeral home in recognition of, you know, the suffering that my family was going through at the time. And with John Woods, he was somebody who touched thousands of lives. And his loss affected thousands upon thousands of people very, very deeply. And, you know, you give 38 years of your life to service to a university and to a band family, you can't help but be touched by that. And it was great. It was a great experience from the standpoint that our students at the time did not know him, had not been in the band under his leadership, but they, even as younger members of the family, could sense through me and through the alumni who were there and through all of us that were there in those circumstances, just what he really did mean. He was much more than just a picture on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to offer their support to those of us that had a hard time with that. Those students stepped up. I can't tell you, I received, you know, a half dozen cards just from the students in the band saying, I know
Wow.
you lost somebody important to you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me about who he was.
Right.
And it's really important. I know that, you know, there will be other tragedies in the future, as there have been in the past. And I know that the band is going to persevere no matter what,
mm-hmm.
and get through it no matter what, because we do have such a strong sense of family.
Right. So probably in the particular case that we mentioned, I'm sure you were a great support to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you take your kids to the games?
They have not been to a football game yet. It's
really?
just a little bit too long of a day, I think, for them. But I would imagine very soon, within the next couple of years, at least my 6-year-old will be old enough to go out there. Now, I will say he loves the band, and he wants nothing more out of life than to be a drummer. So
nice.
It hurts daddy's ears a little bit at home,
yes.
But he is a talented kid and couldn't be more proud of him. So.
And you recently did a picnic with the Pops.
We did,
yeah,
yes.
How was that?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, we always have a great time with that particular performance. The crowds are always great, very supportive of what we do. And our students, you know, it's amazing that we get about 120 students back over their summer vacation just to play that performance because they love the band, they enjoy playing it. And it's a great collaborative relationship with the Columbus Symphony. I mean, we have some great musical organizations in our city.
Yeah.
So it's a real honor to be associated with that.
Yeah, I remember seeing them back when you guys played at the Chemical Abstracts location.
Yeah.
So were you able, I took my kids to that. Were you able to take your kids to the Commons to see that one?
No, they weren't able to be there that that night. My wife did attend, but
my
son and daughter were not there.
Okay, well, maybe one of these days.
One of these days, they'll make
days.
It. They go to other performances.
Sure.
They've seen the band many times.
They live with the director.
I
think they've got their fill. Well, I wanted to say thank you for sharing your Scarlet and Gray spirit with us today, and may the force be with the Buckeyes.
Absolutely.
thank you so much. Dr. Now, a word from our person on the street. So, tell me, Ryan, what are your thoughts on family?
Family for me has been an up and down battle of watching people succeed and not succeed, and people go through hard times and not go through hard times, but I've always tried to be supportive to family members as they're always supportive to me whenever I'm feeling down. I always have a family member who calls me or emails me or messages me asking if I'm okay and making sure I'm okay. And
do you have a big family?
Not a huge one, but I've got a close-knit family that I like to kind of view it as. And it's always nice to be able to relate or to be able to spend time with them and know that they've always got my back. If I need them, I can always call them.
Very nice. Well, you're one of the lucky ones. You got a good family. Congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Maria Greif, and you've been listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.